Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 12:54 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 20th. Well, today was, in one way, shape or form, a day about trade wars. But I'll kick off and look at India. It was up very significantly on the exit polls, which put Narendra Modi in the position that he is going to come through with an absolute majority for the BJP. Now, obviously, exit polling is not an exact science, so we're not going to have a complete result just yet, but the market isn't losing any time in pricing this in, and that's a very significant upper dynamic that we've seen on the Nifty. It took us to a new closing high. And when you look at this on a weekly basis, well, what we're presented with is a market that found support in the region of the trend mean and is still in a reasonably consistent medium-term uptrend. The banking sector also bounced rather nicely from the region of its trend mean over the last couple of weeks, and it's also at a new closing high and reasserting on the upside. Well, it's being led higher by banks like Axis Bank. That is a company that was able to avoid some of the prohibitions that the RBI has been imposing on other members of the banking sector over the last few months. And it is also pushing on and up out of what was effectively a four-year range. Yes Bank, on the other hand, is at the other extreme, and it has been pulling back violently over the course of the last month, but it is at a new reaction low. The company does have a new CEO, and he is coming through the period where he's written off all of are basically the period where he's blamed everything on the last CEO, but they do look like they're going to have to raise capital, and that is why the market has been pulling back so aggressively. Well, it was up almost 10 rupees in here today, so that is a significant advance. When we look at that on a log scale, well, we can see just how much it has pulled back, halving really in the course of a month. So there is a deep short-term oversold condition. There is the potential that a capital raise could be done. Now, there are, of course, two ways to raise capital. One is to issue it at a discount. That gives a very nice opportunity for profit potential to short sellers, because they get to borrow shares, then they get to buy them back at a much lower level when the new shares have been issued. Metro Bank, on the other hand, was able to avoid that last week. And if we look at the upside key reversal that we had last week, what it really rams home is that issuing new shares does not have to happen at an enormous discount, particularly when the share has already fallen so aggressively. Now, I wonder, is this something that is potentially what Yes Bank may try and attempt? Their CEO has been on a roadshow all over the USA and India over the course of the last few months, or last few weeks, I should say. So he is certainly out there looking for additional capital and trying to drum up attention. But the big question is, in what fashion is that capital raise going to occur? But of course, the much bigger picture is that India is potentially one of the biggest beneficiaries of the trade war. They have a massive young population. The Indian population is going to exceed that of China in the not-so-distant future. And more importantly, it is full of young people who are entering their prime productivity years. And there will be tens of millions of new voters in India at every one of the next few elections. Well, what that also helps to highlight is that the Indian administration has a clear vested interest in delivering economic growth and jobs are very clearly tied to manufacturing. If you simply look at the kinds of products that you're buying, you're going to start finding progressively more of them are manufactured in India, and that's part of the transition that's underway. It's not just Western companies that are building factories in India, but also Chinese companies, because wages in China have also been rising. Well, there's certainly been a lot of focus on the trade war, and the A-share index in China today was right on the lows, but off those lows. There is a clear potential here that with the intensification of the trade war, with the banning of Huawei from accessing Google's Android services, or at least some of them, Infineon no longer shipping some components manufactured in the USA to China, Qualcomm doing the same thing, well, that is obviously having an impact on some of these shares. So that's where the intensification of the trade war is starting to really come through. And I'm gonna find, I can't remember the Infineon, and I can't even remember how to how to spell it. Well, Infineon is the European champion in terms of semiconductors, but it very clearly has type 2 top with right-hand extension characteristics, so it's going to have to pull something out of the hat pretty soon if this isn't going to represent a very meaningful downtrend. Google, of course, is the producer of Android, and it was also in negative territory in here today, and down about $23. It's right in the region of the trend mean. Well, that was an awfully big downside key reversal that we saw 3 or 4 weeks ago. So I think it would be Pollyanna-ish to think that is going to be overcome in the short term. We're probably in for a much more volatile environment for Google trading. When we look at the Nasdaq, it was also in negative territory in here today, down 126 points. Of course, it still has some overextension relative to the trend mean to unwind. This continues to look like a period of consolidation, and until it does more than that, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to higher to lateral ranging. It was really quite overextended by the time it hit that peak of 3 weeks ago, so I think, there is clearly the potential for some additional pause and consolidation, and that could persist for months before we see a clear resolution either up or down from that range. But we are looking at an intensification of the trade war. So that is weighing on stocks, and it does contribute to this process of consolidation. Xi Jinping visited a rare earth metals processing facility over the weekend, and that is clearly signaling that they are at least considering cutting off exports of rare earth metals to the USA or raising the price considerably. Linus is the only one of the companies that started gathering capital back when the Chinese last limited supply of rare earth metals to the global economy, that and Linus is the only one that in fact got to production. But they have some difficulties right now with their processing permits in Malaysia, and they've signed an additional agreement with the USA to build a processing facility in the USA. So there are measures underway to I think ameliorate the reliance the USA has on Chinese supplies of rare earth metals, but these things don't get built overnight. There is the potential that rare earth metals are going to become an investment destination once more. Well, when we think about the commodities complex, the copper price is still quite weak, and it has failed to find support in the region of the upper side of the underlying range, and there's been a clear absence of upward dynamics to question that this isn't still a sliding environment. I think there's also increasing awareness in the commodities complex that winter wheat is likely to be quite severely impacted by the moisture levels in a very significant portion of the growing acreage in both Canada and in North America. And there are substantial portions of those regions that have not even begun to plant spring wheat, and that's almost 2 months overdue at this stage, and extremely moist conditions are still evident. Well, Wheat prices have now pushed on to a new recovery high. They are quite depressed, having got all the way back down to that $4 area, and are now testing the region of the trend mean. So, this is the point where, if demand is going to reassert beyond the short term, it will have to push through this level. And soybeans has also bounced from the lower side of its range. It got all the way down to the 800 cent level and is now bouncing once more. Well, it's got a wider overextension relative to the trend mean to unwind, but I think the more important point is that it is continuing to stabilize. So I think that there is potential here that soft commodities are going to do better, but one sector that is feeling some of the pain from the continued weakness of the Brazilian real is coffee, and Arabica is still rather steady here around the 90 cent level, but there's been a rather distinct absence of big upward dynamics, similar to the kinds of dynamic moves we saw back in October. And sugar is also been a market that is continuing to experience some selling pressure. It had moved to a new reaction low over the course of the last few weeks, and again, this is another market where there just hasn't been a clear upward dynamic to question the bears. Well, the Brazilian real has weakened through the four level. It has been encountering support there over the course of the last few months, but broke down in emphatic fashion over the last three sessions. This is likely to at least retest the lows for the currency, first hit in 2015, but again in 16 and 18. And from there, the bigger question is whether these levels are in fact going to represent more than short-term support. When we look at what exactly is going on in Brazil, well, Bolsonaro has been something of a reform candidate, but when we look at the global economy, there is evidence of slowdown. And that is obviously one of the things that is impacting the currency, but the weakness of the currency is a potential tailwind for the stock market, in nominal terms at least. And the Bovespa index has bounced today from the region of that trend mean in the psychological 90,000 level. Then, when we look at what's going on in Europe, the DAX index was down in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. And I think that is now the beginning of consolidation again, or I think perhaps that's the wrong way to characterize it. This is a continuation of the consolidation that's already begun. The region of the trend mean absolutely needs to hold if this is going to remain a recovery scenario. That was a pronounced downtrend for the index all the way through last year. So now it needs to be able to demonstrate that it can hold a rally. Then, when we look at the FTSE 250 index, it was also down in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today, and that is also in the region of the trend mean. It would be more than ideal if it can continue to hold the sequence of higher reaction lows off the low at the beginning of this year. But the more important point is that it can continue to hold the low put in at the beginning of this year. This is not a particularly consistent trend. There have been certainly a number of occasions where we've had big pullbacks before demand dominance has been reasserted. So I think it would be too much to hope for that the region of the trend mean holds, particularly if we continue to see additional consolidation in the wider market. Think the other markets to keep particular attention pay attention to are oil prices, which were in negative territory in here today, but continues to hold the $70 area, and gold prices were weak last week, but in mildly positive territory in here today. What it absolutely needs to do in order to really demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment is break successfully above $1,300 and hold it. And until it does that, I think we can't truly conclude that we've seen more than short-term support in the region of the trend mean. And Today was a volatile day for cryptocurrencies as well. Bitcoin was up $745, but quite volatile following the pop on the upside. The simple fact of the matter is that with a trade war that looks increasingly likely to test the limits of patience for the negotiating sides, then the renminbi does look like it is at least going to go back to test the 7 area. If it weakens through that 7 area, well, that will, I think, create a clear risk of capital flight. And that's something that China really doesn't want to see. The rally in Bitcoin is being driven by a number of factors, not least the evolution of an institutional custody environment. But I think the more urgent fact is the devaluation of the renminbi is creating this demand from a safe haven perspective, particularly for Chinese investors. Then, when we look at what's going on in Australia, well, you have an election result that was quite surprising, and the success of a reasonably populist right-wing candidate. It's another example of the success of populists over the entire globe. That's also very much true of Narendra Modi. And the ASX 200 is at a new recovery high. It, I think, enhances the potential that we are going to go back and test the peak from back in 2007. And then the question will be how much consolidation do we get before it can push on to new high ground. On this occasion, the Australian dollar did rally intraday, but certainly not in as dynamic a manner as one might wish in order to really pressure the short positions in the currency. It is still trading below the 70-cent level. That area could now quite easily represent a region of resistance. But I think the more important point is that the election of a candidate who is mining friendly is certainly beneficial for the economy over the course of the next few years, and I think that was a potential threat that was being priced into particularly the banks over the course of the last while. If we look at the ASX 52 banks index, then it unwound last week's decline in very emphatic fashion in here this week. The ASX 200 financials index has also rebounded in here, and now that is quite clearly demonstrating a return to demand dominance. It hasn't quite broken the sequence of lower rally highs, but it is trading squarely above the trend mean following the move that we saw in here today. Upside follow-through will really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment for the Australian banks. So that's I think, a rather important turn to outperformance by a globally significant banking sector. It's not something that we've seen for the vast majority of banks out there. And speaking of banks, the S&P 500 banking index has been unchanged over the course of the last 5 sessions. That is not going to last inevitably. So we're going to see a break up or down in the not so distant future. The VIX index, by contrast, has steadied, but not nearly as much as one might anticipate, considering the weakness we've seen on Wall Street. So what that, I think, is beginning to suggest is that this is just a consolidation, unless we see very clear dynamics on the upside to confirm that there is more demand for safe haven assets, then we're, I think, this is more of a consolidation in terms of the stock market than anything else. And bond prices were a little bit softer in here today. And that is also supportive of the view that there is a consolidation underway rather than a rout. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.